Stavanger patted Dan lightly on the shoulder. This one will be different from all the others, Dan. It's more like an old-fashioned New England town meeting than one of your board of directors get-togethers. Dan agreed with a brief nod. Often in his mind, he'd spelled it B-O-R-E-D, meeting. This one would be different, he felt sure. It was. Stavanger served as non-voting chairman of the governing council, a largely honorary position. More pomp than circumstance, Dan thought. The chairman stood at the podium set up at one end of the stage, only a few meters from where Dan stood waiting for his turn to speak. The meeting agenda was displayed on a wall screen along the back of the stage. Dan was dismayed to see that he was last on a list of nine. The first five items went fairly quickly. The sixth was a new regulation tightening everyone's water allotment. Several people from the audience shot to their feet to make their opinions heard in no uncertain terms. One of the council members was chairman of the water board, a chubby, balding, red-faced man wearing the coral-red coveralls of the tourism department. The student's desk at which he sat looked uncomfortably small for him. "There's no way around it," he said, looking flustered. "No matter how efficiently we recycle our water, it's not 100% and it never will be. The more people we allow in, the less water we have to go around." "Then why don't we shut down tourism?" came an angry voice from the floor. "Tourism's down to a trickle anyway," the water chairman replied. "It's less than 5% of our problem. Immigration is our big difficulty." "Refugees," someone said in a harsh stage whisper. "Don't let them in," an angry voice snapped. "You can't do that." "Why the hell not? They made the mess on Earth. Let them stew in their own crap." "Can't we find new sources of water?" a citizen asked. Stavanger answered from the podium, "Our exploration teams have failed to locate any other than the polar ice fields we've been using all along." "Bring up a few loads from Earthside," someone suggested. "Yeah, and they'll gouge us for it." "But if we need it, what else can we do?" The audience stirred restlessly. A dozen conversations buzzed through the theater. The water board chairman raised his voice to be heard over the chatter. "We're negotiating with the GEC for water shipments, but they want to put one of their own people onto the water board in return." "Hell no! Never! Those bastards have been trying to get control of us since day one!" The audience roared its angry disapproval. Stavanger, still standing at the podium, pressed his thumb on a button set into its control panel, and a painfully loud, hooting whistle rang through the theater, silencing the shouters. Dan covered his ears until the shriek died away. "We've got to maintain order here," Stavanger said in the numbed silence. "Otherwise, we'll never get anywhere." Reluctantly, they accepted the fact that water allotments would be decreased slightly. Then the water board chairman held out a potential carrot. "We'll have the new recycling system online in a few months," he said, drumming his fingers nervously on his desktop. "If it works as efficiently as the simulations show it should, we can go back to the current water allotment, at least for a year or so." "And what happens if this recycling system fails?" asked a stern-faced elderly woman. "It's being thoroughly tested," the water chairman answered defensively. "This is just a way for the people running the damned hotel to put up their own swimming pool and spa," grumbled a lanky, long-haired citizen. He looked like a physicist to Dan. "Tourism is down, so they want to fancy up the hotel to attract more tourists." Dan wondered about that. "Tourism is down because the world's going down the toilet," he thought. And then he admitted, "But, yeah, people running tourist facilities will try their damnedest to attract customers no matter what. What else can they do except go out of business altogether?" In the end, the council decided to accept the water allotment restrictions until the new recycling system had been in operation for 3 continuous months. Then they would have a new hearing to decide on whether they could return to the old allotments. 2 more items were swiftly disposed of, then at last, Stavanger said, "The final item on our agenda tonight is a proposal by Dan Randolph, head of Astra Manufacturing. He turned slightly and prompted, "Dan?" There was some scattered applause as Dan stepped up to the podium. Astro employees, Dan thought. Stavanger moved off stage. He gripped the edges of the podium and looked over the crowd. He had no notes, no visual aids. For several moments he merely stood there, thinking hard. The audience began to murmur, whisper. Dan began, "Halley's Comet will be returning to the inner solar system in a few years. Last time it came by, Halley's blew out roughly 30 million tons of water vapor in 6 months. If I remember the numbers right, the comet lost something like 3 tons of water per second when it was closest to the sun." He waited a heartbeat, then asked, "Do you think you could use that water?" "Hell yes," somebody shouted. Dan grinned when he saw that it was Poncho Lane, sitting up in the first row of the balcony. "Then let's go get it," Dan said. He spent the next 15 minutes outlining the fusion rocket system and assuring them that it had performed flawlessly in all its tests to date. "A fusion-driven spacecraft can bring in all the water you need, either from hydrate-bearing asteroids or from comets," Dan said. "I need your help to build a full-scale system and flight test it." One of the women counselors asked, "Are you asking Cellini to fund your corporation? Why can't you raise the money from the regular sources?" Dan made himself smile at her. "This project will cost between $1 and $2 billion Earthside. None of the banks or other funding sources that I've approached will risk that kind of money. They're all fully committed to rebuilding and mitigation programs. They've got their hands full with the greenhouse warming. They're not interested in space projects." "Damn flatland idiots," somebody groused. "I agree," Dan said, grinning. "They're too busy doing what's urgent to even think about what's important." "Out of all the corporations on Earth," someone called out, "surely you can make a deal or two to raise the capital you need." Dan decided to cut the discussion short. "Listen, I could probably put together a deal that would raise the money we need, but I thought I'd give you a chance to come in on this. It's the opportunity you've been waiting for." "Cellini doesn't have that kind of money at its disposal," said one of the councilmen. "No," countered Dan, "but you have the trained people and the facilities to build the fusion rocket with nanomachines." A hush fell over the theater. Nanotechnology. They all knew it was possible. And yet, "Nanomachines aren't magic wands, Mr. Randolph," said the counselor seated closest to Dan, a lean, pinch-faced young man who looked like a jogging fanatic. "I understand that," said Dan. "At one time we thought we could develop nanomachines to produce water for us by taking hydrogen from the incoming solar wind and combining it with oxygen from the regolith. It was technically feasible, but in practice, a complete failure." Recognizing the councilman as one who loved the sound of his own voice, Dan said curtly, "If nanomachines can build entire clipper ships, they can build fusion drives." Another woman counselor with the bright red hair and porcelain-white complexion of Ireland spoke up. "I've been stuck with the job of treasurer for the council, the thanks I get for being an honest accountant." Dan laughed, along with most of the audience. "But it's a sad fact that we don't have the funds to spare on your program, Mr. Randolph, no matter how admirable it may be. The money just isn't in our hands." "I don't want money," Dan said.
"Then what?"
"I want volunteers. I need people who are willing to devote their time to the greatest challenge of our age, developing the resources of the entire solar system."
"Ah. But that boils down to money now, doesn't it?"
"No, it doesn't," said a deep voice from the middle of the theater. Dan saw a squat, heavily built black man get to his feet. "I'm Bernie James. I retired from the nanotech lab last year. I'm only a technician, but I'll work with you on this."